Jasvayaktayayukta Pravishto Jidamandiram Manistamba Shatope Kam Mahendra Bhavanatata Pita Swayam Haya Yukta Krishto Nijamandriya Manistamba Shatope Kam Mahendra Bhavanatata. Okay, synonyms. Pita, pleased. Svayam, himself. Taya, by her. Yukta, joined. Pravishta, having entered. Nija, his. Mandiram, home. Money, gems. Stambha, columns. Tata, hundreds. Upetam, having. Mahaindra, a great Indra, the king of heaven. Bhavanam, the palace. Tata, like. Translation of purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimati Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The pleasure, he took his wife with him and entered his house. There were hundreds of gem-studded pillars, just as in the palace of Lord Mahendra. Commentary. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Sudama was simply astonished at the sight of his wife, as he wondered, quote, who is this demigod's wife? And who is a person of such a fallen soul as me? The maid servants informed him, quote, this is indeed your wife. At that very moment, Sudama's body became young and beautiful, decked in fine clothing and jewelry. The word prita here indicates these changes gave him considerable pleasure. The famous thousand names of Lord Vishnu, him, the Mahabharata, immortalizes Sudama's sudden opulence in the following phrase. Sri Dhamma Ranka Bhaktartha Bhum Ani Tendra Bhaibhava. Lord Vishnu is also known as he who brought endless opulence to this earth for the benefit of his beloved devotee, Sudama. Vrindavane Ramana Veti Prasitamo Tatravi Krishna Balarama Sukharam Vajnanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandastateva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samsara Dukkha Jaladau Paditasya Kama Krod Adinakha Makarai Kavalikutasya Durvashana Nikaditasya Nirashrayasya Chaitanya Chandramamadehe Padavalambam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopadeshi Kishoro Saha Chardagana Vrindai Kridamana Vajesho Natabharatita Vesho Nita Kita Paradyo Jagadajana Hetho Ramakrishna Natasme Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sandhubhyeva Cha Trigana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. This pastime and the pastime of Kardama Muni's manifesting an aerial palace for his wife Devahuti are both noteworthy. Now remember, in the third canto, that Kardam, what is not explained. Kardam means covered with mud. So either two things. Either he was absorbed in his manasik seva, worshiping the Supreme Lord so deeply that he didn't care about his external features. In those days, sadhus were known for their tapasya, not what they looked, what they wore. They were not so much public people. They were living in the hills. They were doing austerity, living in the forest. He would come sometimes, big festivals, big yagyas, big sacrifices. They would come and they would visit different kings or something like that. And the kings, they didn't care what they looked like. You know, like a typical example in Mahabharata is Vyasadeva. Specifically, when Maharaj Chitrangada and Chitravirya were killed, Chitranga was killed by the Gandharva, who had the same name as him. He didn't want a rival, so they fought for a while, and he was killed. Gandharva killed him. And the Chitravirya, he was a little bit, kind of a thin guy. He didn't have so much energy. His immune system was down or something like that. Anyway, somehow he died. And his two wives, Ambalika and Ambala, Ambalika, these two princesses, they were without issue. And it was a difficulty because the kingdom required an heir. So at that time, Satyavati remembered that my son told me that whenever I'm in trouble, I can just think of him and he'll come. So now I really require my son. So she thought about it very carefully, and Vyasadeva came. And then in those days, for the sake of the kingdom, a brother could beget children in the womb of his brother's wife. In an emergency situation, it was allowed. So Satyavati asked Vyasadeva for that extraordinary service. And you know, he was a rishi when it was given to Tapasya. And he already had a wife, evidently, because it's stated that his son was Shukadeva Goswami. And so his wife was exceptional also. And so, personally, he was not into this. He was not in any way interested in any way. That was why it was allowed in those days, because people were selfless. People were not given under the control of their senses so much. And they were noble. Now, after the Kali Yuga age started, it became forbidden. Because at that time, as we say, the demon and the devotee are in the same body. So therefore, that was forbidden. But anyway, in the Dwapara Yuga, it was still considered all right. So somebody asked Vyasa to do this seva. So from her womb came Pandu, one of them, when she was told to decorate herself for the sage. So she decorated herself accordingly. And when Vyasadeva went there, described in the Mahabharata, then when she saw the sage, because he's intense, Vyasadeva was intense. He had a bluish shama complexion. And he had a jatak, he had medlocks on his head. And he looked not very clean and not very proper because he was fresh from his meditation. He told Satyavati that if she does a vrata for whatever, 1 month or some time, she does a tapasya vrata, then at the end of her vrata, then I can take bath, adorn myself nicely to bless her. But Satyavati goes, yeah, man, she didn't have time to do a vrata, you know, and I want you to do the service, and she didn't have time to get into a vrata. Oh, well, if she doesn't have time to do a vrata, Vyasadeva said, she just got to accept me the way I am. So in this way, when the girl saw that this princess, you know, dragged in fine raiment, you know, and then fancy silk cloth and jewels and, you know, like that. When she saw them, you know, like, you know, you picked out, you know. And she turned pale. You know, when he came to embrace her, to give her a seed, she was like, but she turned pale. And he said, Jeevi! Because you've turned pale, therefore your son will be also pale. So that was Pandu. Her son was Pandu. He had a very pale complexion. He was strong. super powerful and virtuous, but he had a pale complexion because his mother turned pale to greet Vyasadeva. Similarly, then Satyavati later on said, well, look, for this other girl we require a child. So for her, Vyasadeva came. And then when he came to her, then she got so scared after talking with her sister, you know, with the co-queen, you know, like this, about the whole story here. She says, oh no, that guy's going to come for us. We got to do this for the sake of the kingdom. My God. And she saw him. She got so scared, you know, she closed her eyes. You know, and still fulfilling the order of his mother, Vyasadeva did the service, you know, and impregnated her and told her, Devi, because you close your eyes, your child will be blind. So then afterwards, something happened, you know, a little time later on, Satyavati said, we need one more. We need one more. So you please approach one of these princes again, I think it was Amika or something like that. You approach another one, touch him one more time. And so this time the girl said, well, you know, I can't handle this guy, you know. I can't handle this guy. This guy is too intense for me, you know. So what she did is she called her Dasi Putra, because all these princesses had many, many maidservants. You know, at least 100 was not uncommon. And they were doing everything for her, you know, and evidently there was friendship. So they said, look, please take my place. You know, so she swapped her ornaments and this and that, and, you know, with the girl. And evidently, she looked pretty close, evidently, you know, like that. So, the Dasi, she took her place of the queen and went and stayed in her apartment, and Vyasadeva came. And when she came, she was so pleased to see him, you know, all of this wonder. You know, but she could understand this person is really ascetic and really absorbed, you know, in austerities and highly advanced. She was extremely pleased to see him. And she worshipped him very nicely, gave him wonderful reception, you know. And then she just accepted from Vyasadeva whatever she was going to get by her karma. She had no ulterior motivation whatsoever. And she was so joyous in her mood. So Vyasadeva blessed her, you know? And afterwards he said, your child will be one of the best of men. Your child will be the best of men, the most learned of men, because you've so assiduously respected it. Then he went to turn to his mother Satyavati and goes, don't ask me anymore. Don't ask me. Mother, you can call me anytime you want for some advice or for something, but don't ask me to give my seat to these princesses anymore. So Satyavati said, all right. And that was the end of it. And Vidura took birth. Yamaraj himself, you know, took birth as Vidura. All the wonderful things are there in Mahabharata. So they got Kardam. And it is described about Gandhari, how she took the mood of her husband, Dhritarashtra, when it was understood that she was going to marry a blind person like that. So in the same way, we saw that Devahuti took the mood of her husband. Well, my husband is covered with mud. My husband stays in gufas, you know, caves, or, you know, like that, dirty caves. There's caves with this dust everywhere. So she just got used to that kind of tapasya. So she by serving her husband, she became emaciated because of her tapasya. And so when Kardama wanted to bless his wife, he thought of her welfare. And she, like this. So when he thought of her welfare, that let us, by his manasic power, Aja, he manifested a beautiful aerial palace. And then by his power of this mental prowess, it became prakat, it became manifest. And he saw that palace. And Devahuti looked confused. And she looked at that. She looked at herself. She looked at herself that, you know, what kind of cloth I got, and what am I, and that's, I'm going to go look at that? You know, she thought it was a little out of place, you know. She felt embarrassed and confused, it was described. And at that time, he said, Devi, just go and into the waters of Bindu Sarovara. And there you will be cleansed. So either both of them were so absorbed in their manasik seva, they just didn't have time for the external body. They didn't bathe. Or they lived in gufas. They lived in caves, which was very common. Sages lived in caves, you know. And caves had plenty of dirt, you know, like that, all around them, like that. And they just didn't care for the material world. Either way, the waters of Bindu Sarovara, there were many devis, demigoddesses, and other personalities there that transformed Devahuti into a celestial person, like this, all because of her transcendental service to her wonderful husband, Kardama. Like that. Everything became powerful by the will of the Supreme Lord. And Devahuti shared. She had all of her karma, and she shared half of her husband's karma. Like that. So, how wonderful it was. How wonderful it was. Here, in the same sense, the Brahmani thus tested her husband and spoke, you know, we've been doing austerities of loving Lord Krishna, you know, like that. But why can't we get at least a little opulence to live with? At least to keep the bones together, you know? So, evidently, she repeatedly treated her wonderful husband. And her husband thought, well, look, whether I get money or not, or whether I get opulence or not, at least it's a chance to get the darshan of Krishna. That's the thing. So, for pleasing my wife, at least I'll get darshan of Krishna. And that's the real wealth. I belong to you, and you belong to me. Is there any other wealth in the world? That's what the Brahmin thought. This whole life is very temporary. At any time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, his disciples have compiled it. There's a book that they just finished publishing, the Govardhan Gaudi Math branch, little tiny box, right next to our property in Govardhan. He just published a book called Amulyavani, Pure Instructions in Bengali, 100 Sayings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when Vrindavan Sri Vaishnava Madhavendu translated a bunch of it, seeing that we wanted it, translated a bunch of it, 71 of them, in Roman Bangla and then English. And it's powerful stuff, very powerful. I still have the words to grab. One point he mentions was that, with regards to this, Brahminical life, he said that physical disease with Hari Bhajan is preferable to physical fitness without Hari Bhajan. That was interesting. Next thing he said, we are here for a very short time. If the body wears out by constant discourses about Hari, then our efforts will be crowned with success. So these two things, put these two things together and understand that talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, this was the success for the Brahmanas and the Brahmanis. Not that they had externally, because everything is goes at the time of death. What do we have as devotees? All we have is the holy name and Krishna Smarana, Gauranga Smarana. That's it. We don't have anything else. But I remember recently about one of my god sisters who, with her beloved husband, both of them were great devotees, early devotees of our movement, selfless like anything in their household life, with all respects. They gave their utmost to the mission in all respects. They distributed tons of books. This Mataji, my god sister, was so determined that even when she had her child, Shravana, as a young child, a young boy, she had one of those carriers, you know, and she would pop him on her back, and she would go out and do books. What a boy. What a mother. And later on, as I became absorbed, I was told that my godbrother would tell his wife that I should probably follow. Unfortunately, my mind is too gentle. But he said, don't say a word to me until we finish our rounds, okay? He would wake at 2 in the morning, and he would finish by about 8 o'clock in the morning. He would chant one lakh. Husband and wife would chant one lakh. No. He would have a short morning program, very brief. You know, very brief morning program. And then, he would do, he had some real estate business, you know, buying, selling properties. He would do a few things like that. You know, and sometimes when he wanted to get away from it all, you know, like on the weekend or something, he would just grab one of his sons or something like that and he would dash off. He would go to one of those properties and spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just nambaja, just absorbed in the holy name. So with a husband like that, can you imagine? So she was so, my god sister was describing about her departure in Vrindavan of usually cancer that came into liver cancer also. And said that she had 3 assistants that were taking care of her, caretakers, trying, you know, changing shifts. It's heavy, heavy on the caretakers as well. So she said they pulled her hand, her bony hand, to her chest to chant before she gave up her life, her body. And that, she said, Maharaj, they told me in the email that that will be drilled into our brain as long as we live. It's that sight. And they said the room became thick with people. And we looked around, we saw there was just only so many people, but the room was thick as if we couldn't move. As if there were so many subtle beings, higher beings, that came in the room all of a sudden. And they said, it was just as if the sky opened for 30 seconds to allow that emotion to be in. That was so neat. So when I read that description by my god sister, it made me understand that, and seeing with my own eyes that my god, Nirguna Krishna, left in Mayapur, that this is the destination of all of us. This body, we're all going to be kicked out today or tomorrow. And all we have, really, is the holy name, the association of devotees, and whatever little smarana we've got, whatever we can remember of the Lord's pastimes. Everything else just goes by the wayside. But in this case, because if the devotee needs something, we get it from Krishna. Krishna wants. Some devotees are so selfless, it doesn't matter what they get. They will simply take it and use it in the service of Krishna. The most funny thing was in their exile. You know, when the Pandavas were in exile with their mother Kunti Devi, and they went out in Madhukari, and then they came back. You know, so when Arjuna went for the Svayamvara of Draupadi, he won by pinching the fish, and he came back and said, "Mother, you got some alms. Oh well, whatever it is, divide it up amongst your brothers." You know. And then she saw, "Oh, it's a princess. Oh, oh well." The point was that her sons were so wonderful. They did not want anything that Kunti Devi's words must become true. Whatever our mother says must be true. Astounding. And if you think Draupadi had a hard time, you know, then Maricha had 10 Prachetas were her husbands. But she was chosen personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for her, noting about her qualities. And she was nourished as a young girl, as a young infant, with the finger of Soma. Not ordinary people. The Bhagavatam doesn't describe ordinary people in ordinary circumstances. So why am I saying all this stuff? I'm saying this stuff because the Brahmins didn't care. Their point was whether we have a nice house to live in or we have a shack. It didn't matter. Can we think of the Lord? Our material opulence, whatever we've got, should not deviate us from thinking of Krishna, because that's the ultimate thing. How to prepare for the point of death. That's the main thing. Whether we have a shack or we have a house, doesn't matter. We're thinking of the Supreme Lord. And whatever we get, we offer it. Like Kunti Devi said, well, whatever you have, share it with your brothers. Same thing. Everything is taken. Everything is offered to the Supreme. And everything is with the name of the Supreme. Because these, the Leela of the Supreme and the name of the Supreme is the only possession of the jiva. And our association in any relationship is only as powerful as we push each other to, we inspire each other, uplift each other by affection to go to the Supreme. It's nature. It doesn't matter what relationship it is. The whole point is not to become deviated. The Chaitas were worried that they would be deviated. And the Lord told them, no. This is the criteria he gave. Grihishu Vishatangachapi, those who have entered into household life, humsam persons, kushila karmanam, engage in happy work. What's happy work? The only happiness is serving Krishna. Everything else in the material world is miserable. Therefore, Prabhupada translated kushila karmanam to devotional service. Because only by serving Krishna you can be happy. Talking about me, letting the time pass by talking about me. Nabandaya, they won't be bound, Riyam Mata, by their household. Mata, opinion. This is our opinion. So these are the criteria Krishna spoke. The Lord spoke to the Chaitas. This is the criteria. If you do not want to be bound up, spend all your time talking about Krishna one way or the other, and engage in devotional service. Then, nothing will bound him. So because the Brahmin was not so much interested in getting a good house, his wife needed something a little more than what the Brahmin was getting. So he asked Krishna, he didn't even say anything. This was within his heart only. And his wife gave something very simple, just some pola, fried rice, which is not very opulent at all. It is accepted by the sadhus. It is accepted as a nice thing by sadhus because it's quick. You know. Pola is good, like I said, it's called chuprakana. Chuprakana is something that a devotee does when they want to do some service. Like, you want to chant a lot of japa or do some special sadhana, and they will keep. It's finger food. You just take it, little peanuts, little something, and pop it in your mouth. You know, it just tells your fire of digestion, shut up. Leave me alone, okay? Don't grumble, don't bite, don't bother me. You know, I'm trying to chant. I'm trying to read. I'm trying to write. You know, like that, right? I'm trying to write. I'm trying to read. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to chant. I'm trying to worship. Leave me alone. It's called chuprakana. And that's a very famous aspect about devotees, that the older generation was absorbed in that. These things, eating, sleeping, this and that, are only important as if it helps your bhajan. Otherwise not. The older generation were actually able to do it 2 hours a night. We chant till 1 o'clock in the morning. Gauridasi Tomi in Fiji, she's 79. She's Gujarati, she's 79. She was sleeping 2 hours. In 75, 74, when she was taking care of Kaliya Krishna in the Lotoka temple. She was the Pujari then at that time. Her husband and his brother built the place. So she was chanting 108 rounds then. 108 rounds, Ma, how'd you do it? It's way over 10 hours. You know? Way over 10 hours of japa. How did you do it? She said, after 7 o'clock in the morning when I finish the deed, I put my hands in my beads and I just chant. And if I got too distracted in the meantime, then I would try to take say Chuprakana. And the rest of the time she said I would just, sometimes I had a chant all the way to 1 o'clock in the morning. I'd go to sleep for 2 hours and wake the babies up again. That was it. When her husband had bypass surgery, Kamala Shumar told the mother, you've got to take care of your husband. He really needs it now. You know? She chopped her grounds to half where it is now. And before. When I saw her, she goes, this is really kind. I fell over on my left side. You know, because she collapsed. An old lady, you know, 79. Krishna's really kind. I fell over, and I collapsed. But I fell on my left side, so my right hand is still good for chanting. No wonder why Tamal Krishnamurti said that she was his mother, you know. You're really my mother, you know. It's really something. It's something. The older generation, they knew how to do these tricks. Because they had a focus. Human life is meant for liberation. Everything else is temporary. So it was interesting. Now, because it was also wonderful, Bhakta Janapriya, that which is jana, the associate of a devotee, is also Priya. So the wife of the Sudama was asking her Pati Prabhu, can we just have something more? And he thought, well, look, I'm a Brahmin, I'm just going to accept whatever Krishna gives me by my karma. As Kulasekhar Arada says, yada yada bhavya bhaktu bhagavan kurva kanamanarupu. Whatever happens according to the form of my past activities, you know, whatever I'm destined to get. You don't get more than that. So he thought, well, if I'm destined to get it, I'll get it. If I'm not, well, anyway, it'll depend on Krishna. At least it's an opportunity for me to go see Dwarkadish. My wife has given me an opportunity to see Dwarkadish. Come what may, you have to give him something. You can't go empty handed. All right, she gave him some poa. And he got it up in the little bundle tied in his cloth. Typical. They kept money like that tied in their cloth. Like that. So the poa was tied in the bundle, tied in his belly or whatever it is, and he just went off. And after Krishna greeted him and they laughed and talked about old times, and then Krishna asked him, you brought something for me. And then he remembered, my wife had given this thing, you know. Oh. He was so absorbed in hearing from the sweet words from his friend's mouth, you know, his old school friend, you know. And they were talking and laughing. He was so absorbed in hearing the nectar of the Lord's sweet voice. I forgot. My wife had something. It means that Krishna was so personal that even if a devotee forgets sometimes, due to familiarity with the Lord reminds you. Sometimes the Lord wakes us up. How do you have that experience? Wake up, stupid! Take a bath. You're supposed to wake us up, you know? You know, and I would, when it happened sometimes, I would laugh and think, who's waking who up? You know, who's, I am their servant, but for their service, they're waking me up. You know, you know, funny, isn't it? Krishna does these things, you know, wake up, stupid. Huh? You have to take a bath. It's time to take care of us. Thank you. Like that. So sweet. So now I was absorbed like that. Devotees are absorbed like that. We just want Krishna's pleasure, and because Krishna's pleasure, if you're with Krishna, then where's your problem? Where's your problem? You don't have a problem. The material world means there is always uncertainty. Wherever there is uncertainty, there is anxiety. Okay? This is what Bhagavatam says, 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 37. By remembering Ishame Petasya, momentarily forgetting Krishna, Pariyashmati, it causes an opposite mentality. So, this is what we call the duality of fear. So, it happens to us because we have this body, because we're in the material world, because we're agyanis, we are ignorant, we have a material body which is asat, it is temporary, shit, ignorance. Here on from misery, and we're in this Maya Samsara, which is filled with nothing but that. So there must be anxiety, there must be difficulties, as long as we forget the Lord. If we remember it, then we're happy. But because we cannot remember constantly, therefore again we call His names. The more you call His names, the more you rise in the names, and you feel His presence, and the more you're happy. So sometimes I would look at it, hey, this is difficult. Come around, what are you going to do? What will happen? You know? What will happen? And they come in the heart, smiling as they are, and they say, does it look like you're in anxiety? And I say, no. You don't look like you're in anxiety. You're with us. What do you worry? They go, you're with us. What do you worry? They're like laughing at me, you know. And you're with us. What do you worry? Oh, I don't have to worry about nothing. You're right. And that's the nature of all the relationship with the Supreme Lord. It's not physical proximity. It's actually you have to keep in your mind. It's not physical proximity. We can't be artificial about these things. We can't be dry. We can't be ritualistic so much. We have to really remember them and absorb them and think of them. And if you think of them and their pastimes, all miseries go to the wayside by remembering the Lord. Huh? And if we have any slight anxiety, the Lord's happiness is removing that anxiety from the heart of His surrendered soul. That is His pleasure. He does it in sarcastic ways or whatever. He has so many ways of doing it. His business is to remove that doubt. His business is to remove that anxiety. Remove that pain in the heart of His devotees. That is His pleasure. That is His pleasure to do that. And when it happens to a devotee, the devotee feels Krishna's shelter, pleasure, and protection. And nishchaya, he becomes more and more confident. As Bhagavad Gita says, chapter 5, verse 17, tadabuddhayas, when your intelligence, tadnishchayas, your faith, your conviction, tadabuddhayas, tadagmanas, yourself, tadnishchayas, your faith, your conviction, parayana, your shelter, or all refuge, or all fixed in the Supreme, then jananordhata komasa. Yamudaya tadagmanas tadnishchayas tadparayana kachanti apunar avratum. And you will attain the Supreme. You go straight in the path of liberation. Jnananordhata komasa. And all, and by the transcendental knowledge, nordhata komasa, all types of komasa, all types of dirt, contamination, troubles, they just get swept away. And you go straight on the path. You become focused. This is what Krishna consciousness means. So we have to always take shelter of that. And there's no problem. Whether you live in a shack, or whether you live. Because what's wonderful, when devotees, just like the devotees of this temple here, the Krishna school of all the places in this country, have worked hard to maintain Krishna's temple, to maintain Gornatai, Radhabalabha, and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra's building. They're maintaining their ashramas, they're preaching, they're working in a very synchronized way, visionary way, and trying to serve and in the company of each other and the happiness with each other. So the idea of it is that if you build a temple for the Lord builds a place for you, is described. The Lord will build a nice house for you in His abode. That's the whole idea. Like part of bhava, manasik bhava, is ekadasa bhava, which is 11 different kinds of mood. And one of them is your residence, your cloth, what you look like, what your spiritual body looks like, where you live, who is your group leader, and what service do you have to do. And many, there's other aspects, but that's the ones that come to my mind right now. Your service, your group leader, what you look like, what you look like, your name, and your service, and your accommodation. So this is described, you know, describes it as an aggregate. And Anukul section, and it's described more detailedly in Gita Mala. It describes in Bhajan's Gita Mala how to understand your relationship with Krishna ultimately. This is absorption after Anartana Vritti is over. At the stage of Ruchi. This is the stage where such contemplation actually goes on with the devotee actively. It becomes your active contemplation. As described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verses number 156 and 157. Basically from 140, it's about the mention Gauranga is dealing with Bhagamarga Sarana. So, in that connection, 156 to 157 describes it. So, we have to get there eventually, hopefully, by continuing our hearing and chanting. But why am I saying it? You may ask, what's he rambling on about all this stuff for? Because part of the Ekadasa Bhava is Vasa, your residence. So the residence in the spiritual world, residence in the spiritual world, in your eternal body, that's the thing. Not whether this super material body lives or not. At the same time, Krishna is very personal. A devotee for his or himself or herself doesn't require anything fancy. As long as our opulence is our guru, our master, our friend, our devotee. We call each other as guru, right? Our opulence, a lady's husband, opulence is her husband. A husband's opulence is his wife, you know, and his friends, and their friends, his devotee friends, and this is our opulence. Our opulence is our devotee friends. We are only made of the mercy of devotees, really. By the mercy of devotees, we're allowed to keep our head with the illusory energy. By the mercy of devotees. By the mercy of this process that Prabhupada has given us. By the mercy of Gauranga Shiksha. By the mercy of Harikatha, Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sundari. This is mercy. If we apply it, then we get mercy. If we don't apply it, it just goes to one ear and out the other. It's mercy that we're not taking advantage of. So this is our opulence, is the mercy become a kripa patra, the mercy of devotees. Yes, sir. And by that, we get real accommodation in the spiritual world. So that's why Sudama Brahma is blue. But Bhakta Janapriya, Krishna is known as Bhakta Janapriya, the devotee of my devotee, the associate. Bhakta Janapriya. Those who live with the devotees are also dear. Like, for example, Guru was talking about the village of Kanda, that everybody in that village was a devotee. There was Mukunda and his son, Gunandan, and a lot of other devotees that were in the village. Gauranga said, even a dog in that village is very dear to me. Because they stay with devotees. And those living entities that stay with devotees became benefited. We have many examples of sometimes even an animal, a bird, a dog, you know, a cow, of a devotee became very saintly and very wonderful by being around devotees. They were not ordinary. Therefore, Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, Kita Janamaho, Jagatimadas. I don't mind being an insect in the house of a devotee. And I have no desire to obtain an opulent governmental post to you. You want to be with devotees, even as an animal. So the animals are devotees, some of them are very good. Dhanaranga Goswami put a whole book a long time ago called Krishna Consciousness and the Animals. There were some animals that were extraordinary. You know, like one cow, Vishaka in Malaysia, she's a very, very spiritual cow. She would come to Mangalartik and cry. Amen. Cow come to Mangalartik and look at the deities and cry. Come on. You know, must be somebody special. She would sit in the Bhagavatam class with the ladies. If anybody spoke any language other than Tamil, she would fall asleep. Some Muslim man threw some spear at her. You know? Wanted to kill her for kid. But her owner refused to part with her. Because she was such a special cow. So out of enviousness, God said, we're going to get this cow by making her diseased. So he has the cellar. So he threw some spirit at her so that her rump, her rear of the cow became infected. So they thought that we will have to dispose of her. Right? But the devotees called a special veterinarian to nurse the cow. The cow took 2 weeks to heal up after that. Well, after that, she became very grateful. She told a few of her other family cows, and she brought them too for the Sunday feast. They were eating up all the scraps and stuff. And they said, Abhishaka's preaching. She calls me. She brought 7 or other cows and come to the Sunday program. Something like that. There's another guy in Govardhan farm called Hari Ram. There was one dog named Hari Rama. We called him Hari Rama. So whenever devotees would chant their japa, they would say Hari Rama. And he would dance, you know. He was very happy. And there was another one. There was a... Janardhan told me the story in New Govardhan Farm. There was a female wallaby whose mother was hit by a roadkill. And she was a young wallaby. She didn't know anybody but the devotees. She bounced into the devotee semi 3 times. She bounced into one of the devotees. They brought her back to the farm. And she would run around. And the kids loved her, boy. Just another pet, you know. And Janardhan pointed to me one palm tree. The property that she used to try her footwork on. You know? She would hold on to the tree and go, you know, and the kids would come up and play with her tail. She didn't like that, you know, leave my tail alone, you know. And she would turn around and grab the kids, you know, grab one of the kids, you know, with her 2 paws, you know, and give them a couple of kicks too, you know. But she was too small, you know. She was a small little wallaby, you know, she couldn't do anything. She'd give them a couple of punches, but you know, the kids would just laugh, you know, and like that, you know. So I'm telling you, when she grew up, I don't think anybody had laughed too much more. But as she grew up, and she fell in love with some other wallaby out there in the forest, and she ran off, and that was it. You know, her descendants were somewhere in the area. You know, but it was interesting that how could it be, unless they were devotees in a previous life? How could it be? So bhakta-janapriya, Krishna is very dear even to the animals, even to the associates of a devotee. What to speak of Sudama's wife? So, even though Sudama was only happy to see Dwargadish, and just talk with Dwargadish, his old school buddy, you know, and have good times with Dwargadish again. Dwargadish was very mindful. He's situated with everyone's heart. Huh? You got something from me? Ah, yes, my wife gave me this poa for you, you know. And this insignificant poa, when Krishna was taking it twice, going to take it twice, and Rukmini Devi said, that's it. That's it. That's enough. That's just enough. And everything changed. The goddess of fortune's glance, everything changed. Now, there's a beautiful verse in Mukunda Mala Stotram that says that. It's one of my favorites there. Alam, 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 ekam, prani nama patakana. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. It is certainly sufficient. It's sufficient. The Hare Krishna mantra is sufficient. The Hare Krishna mantra is sufficient. It is sufficient. It is certainly sufficient. Prani nama patakana. Whether you're falling down with your life there, falling out, falling down, you're almost dying. Prani nama patakana. You've fallen down. And your life is leaving you. Nirashaya, whether you have no desires. Nirasha, or you have a lot of desires. Yath Krishna Krishna Divani, the topics of Krishna. Yari Bhavati Mukunde Bhakti Anata Sangha. If attachment to Mukunda, devotion, is very deep in the heart, Ananda Sundar, you have a devotee very happily serving Mukunda. Karatala karataya moksha samraja lakshmi. In the hand of that devotee comes all liberation and opulences. In the hand of the devotee. Now you may say, wait a minute. You know, I'm not so opulent. You know, I ain't got it. Is it highly difficult? Is it only later on? It's like an insurance policy that will mature later on at the time of our death? Is that what it is? Could be. Could be. But not necessarily so, because it's not necessarily material opulences. It's Krishna consciousness and spiritual opulences. If you have spiritual opulences, material opulences are a subordinate thing. You come. Whatever comes, you offer that to Krishna. But if you need it, then Krishna can easily give it to those that are engorged in his service. The example was this. Dhruva, he did the same thing. He wanted a kingdom better than his father. He got Darshan of Krishna Garba, who gave him more opulence than Brahma by giving Ushanara, the pole star. This is your fixed by Kunda planet. After you give up the body, you'll go there. Now take your father's kingdom also and rule it 36,000 years. But in those days, they used to live 100,000. 36,000 years meant 26 of our years, roughly. Young chap. He managed hers. That means from his youth, managing it up till 36,000 years, he served and managed his father's kingdom and left. Left his body. He was young. He had a young wife and two young kids. And he left. He left his body there. It was described. So who can say what he was? Who can say? 46? 40s? Mid-40s? Whatever. He left like that. If he got his father's kingdom at the age of 6, at the age of 10, at the age of 16, that was not clear to me. When did Dhruva ascend the throne? Was not clear. Was not clear. Sometimes the father died untimely, or went to the forest untimely. They would have mantris, they would have prime ministers, they were regents. They would manage the kingdom while the Kumar, while the prince was growing up and finishing his school, and then they gave him the job. Common. So, who can say when officially Dhruva Maharaj actually had it? But the point was he did it, and by managing it, he realized that it ain't all what it's wrapped up to be. You know? There's a whole drama, there's a whole fad where people think so much about it, you know? About the beauty of material opulence. You know? Material opulence buildings, two or three or four houses or whatever it is, you know? Summer cottage, you know, like that, holiday home. You know, householders, if they got money to park, they do all types of stuff. But devotees know that ultimately these things are just not the thing. We can do it. We can have it. Right? It can be utilized for Krishna. It can be done. But ultimately we have to give it up. So, once we got it, use it for Krishna. Use it for Krishna in some positive way. But ultimately we must not be attached to it. We're attached to it enough to manage it. Managing it up, you start to realize that what a pain in the rear is all this management. So this is how they become vairagya, detachment. Like my god sister, when I saw, how is wonderful? How's your kids? Which ones are you proud of? Two. Wow, which ones? She told me. Wow, far out. Six bones. She laughed. She says, for renunciates like you, nothing is worth it. I mean, six bumps, six out of eight bumps. That's not worth it, mother. Nothing is worth it for you guys. She said, for renunciates like you, nothing is worth it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then she spoke. It impressed me. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, hoping that they will become better, but I'm not waiting for them. I loved it. It was concise. It was to the point. It was genuine. It was reality. Yes, we always try our best, but vairagya must be there. Our attachment to Krishna means vairagya, detachment from the material world. Whatever happens by the material energy is other people's karma and whatever happens. I will be absorbed in the Supreme Personality of God. And if we're absorbed, then if we become pure devotees, then naturally our children, our relatives can go back to Godhead like Dhruva did. Like Dhruva did, like Prahlad was blessed by Hiranyakasipu, blessed by Narsingadev. Huh? He even got his father liberated. has reached your father and did nothing but cause him trouble. God, and only desired his death. Prahlad Maharaj liberated his father.
Astounding.
So, if we become pure devotees, whether we live in a little flat, a little apartment, some shack somewhere, or we have a nice place, the point is that we should never forget Krishna, because that is our real opulence. Because by remembering Krishna at the time of death, we get our vasa, we get our house in the spiritual world. Maintaining a house for Krishna, or installing Krishna, making Krishna the lord of the house. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that in Sharanagati. If I have anything, wife, children, material opulences, house, whatever I've got, in the same section, he mentions, this is Gopatri Varan section, accepting Krishna as maintainer. He says, that I have my daughter and my sons and my own body, and how will I protect my family? And this way, I'm always constantly thinking about that. Ebe atma samarpane chinta nahi ar. Mira nirvahi prabhu samsara tumar. Now that I've surrendered unto you, I don't have this anxiety anymore. Surely, my Lord, you will maintain your household life. If I have any affection for my wife, children, family, or anything, it's because they are yours. I'm simply holding on to the keys of your flat. That's it. Everything belongs to Krishna. You have to keep that in mind. And if you do that by worshipping Krishna in the house, by chanting his names, by chanting his glories, if we can do that, then it really becomes an ashrama instead of a jail. Every householder wants to make the bars of their jail gilded with gold. Whether you have gold bars or whether you have steel bars, bars are bars. You're in jail. We're in jail as much as our mind keeps us there. If our mind is absorbed in Goloka, if our mind is absorbed in Gauranga, then we're not in jail. Even if we're externally or. So this pastime is very deep. How Krishna blessed. Because if a devotee will forget Krishna, you know, this is the delicate thing here, is Krishna will think, should I give him what they want? The shloka for that is 5th canto, chapter 19, verse 27. Satam dishat artatam artato rinam naivartato yat puna artatamayata swayama vidat te bhagavan anishtatam ichapi da namanija pada palam. Although a devotee may sometimes request a benediction from the Lord, the Lord may sometimes give it, but not in a way that it will cause the devotee to beg for more and more. Once Krishna gives you something, then you bring out your, here's my short list, here's my longer list, you know. You know, here's my longer list, right? But instead of that, it said, what the Supreme Lord does is he very easily gets the shelter of his lotus feet. And by the shelter of his lotus feet, the devotee becomes fully satisfied and gives up all material desire. That is the mercy of the Lord. He very readily gives the lotus feet. Even though the devotee did not ask it. The devotee did not ask for Krishna's lotus feet, but Krishna will give it anyway. And by that shade of that lotus feet, the devotee becomes satisfied. That's in that shloka, punar artitamnata. He doesn't ask it so that he bestows the benediction to his devotees in such a way that they may not ask more. So Krishna has to think, if my devotee's bhava is so good and I can give him material opulences, big house, big car, big fancy, but he will not be moved. Like my godmother, if he had some money, you know, householders have to give something. So he had some real estate business and he was doing something. But that was not the main thing. The main thing was Harinam. The main thing was Krishna Bhajan. That was the main thing. He was doing that with his wife. Because everything else is antama. It will all be taken away. So Krishna will give a devotee as much opulence as he or she wants if we think of Krishna nicely. Now sometimes there is a jealousy, right? There is a kind of an envy. That hey, you know, XYZ, he's got so much, you know, and I'm struggling like a dog. So once I gave a lecture in Delhi temple, and I went to the very tricky fellow, Krishna, next to his consort. And I spoke to him, you know, I went up to the deities and I prayed to the deities. I said, my Lord, how could some of the devotees get so much opulence and other devotees are struggling like a dog? And he smiled and all of a sudden two shlokas slapped me right in the face. What were they? Yesham sattva yuktanam bhajatam priti purvatam tadhati buddhi yogatam yena mambo payantite. That was interesting. And Tesham Nityabayuktanam Yogakshema Mahamyaham. Those two slapped me in the face with that. And he smiled. He just sat back and smiled. Now when those two shlokas slapped me in the face, you know, like on the cartoon you see the guy with the big fish, you know, hit him in the face with a cold fish. You know, it's like that. You go, whoa. You know, and I looked at the Lord and go, whoa. You know, with those two shlokas. Then I ate those shlokas. Alright. I just thought of those shlokas. What does it mean? Those who are always thinking of me, sadatayuktana, constantly engaged in my service, bhajatam pratipurvakam, worshipping me with devotion, and dhani buddhi yogam tamena mamapayanti. I give them those by which they come to me. And yoga kshema pahamyam, esham nityabayuktana, those who are always of those persons who are always engaged in my service. Then I protect the land. Bahamyaham. I'll hold what they have. Even what they lack. Preserve what they have and give what they lack. Then I analyze it. Oh, there's the distinction. I immediately understood. Some devotees, they serve your lotus feet much better. They're more absorbed. They're more intense. Therefore, you give them so much facility to serve you. And other devotees are not with that intensity. That's why they don't get enticed. That's why they don't get enticed. They don't get it. Because they don't deserve it. It'll distract them. They're distracted enough by the material energy. If they're not engaging in serving me constantly, the material energy is still attracted to them. So that they don't get too far crazy. You know, I will not enamor them further. They're already in that council as it is. They're already spaced out enough. Why should they get distracted more? Right? So, as long as they're distracted, we will not give them. Right? We won't give them. And those that are really devoted, then we give them everything. And I nearly understood, this is why some devotees get so much facility to serve your lotus feet, other devotees don't. It's a question of adhikara, qualification. What you dedicate, this is equal opportunity, man. You give him and he gives you back. Right? But if you don't give him, then he'll wait. He'll be patient until you do. He will not entice you. He will do whatever he needs to do to drag you to his lotus feet. That's all. Some devotees he gives a lot, like Dhruva. But by managing it, they understood that. Hey, management is hell. You know? Who needs this? Right? So by the time Dhruva became, after 36,000 years of managing his father's property, Dhruva was ready. He had no regrets. He was ready to go. You know? Even though he was quite young still, but he didn't mind. He was ready. He was detached. And he'd already asked blessings from Kubera. I never forget the Lord. That's the only way to cross the ocean of birth and death. Dhruva was ready. Mentally, everything was ready. He didn't mind giving up his material opulence like that. So because the Brahman, Sudama, was always absorbed in Krishna, Krishna knew. I can give him, Rukmini Devi knew. He can give him so much opulences and nothing to sway his mind. Because his mind is so fixed. So fixed. This poor wife should get something. You know? So it was interesting. So, Sudama was a very good devotee, and therefore, Rukmini Devi thought of his wife. You know? You think of them, they think of you. It's reciprocal. The more you think of Krishna, the more Krishna will think of you. How to liberate you. How to purify you. How to help you. That's Krishna's reciprocation. And his consort is the same. Both of them. Both of them are the same. And it's so neat to see all these things. Hey, where's Dad? Sunama, where's Dad? Hey, who is this lady? You know? Who is this lady? You know? Why is she coming? Remind me, when I read that in there, it was so funny. You know? It reminded me of Akshaya Tritiya. Akshaya Tritiya in Braj. You know that Akshaya Tritiya is the day that everything becomes wonderful and continual. So, you know, Nanda Baba wanted to go toward Prayag once to take bath in Ganga. There. So Krishna said, this is not a good tiki. Go tomorrow. Okay? And the next day was Akshaya Tritiya. So Nanda Baba said, all right. If you start a journey on Akshaya Tritiya, it becomes successful. Perishable. Journey. All right. So then he went down to his kunda. Nanda Kunda, which is now known as Baba Sarovara. So he went down there to take bath, and he saw one man laughing, whoo, ah, and he would roll in the dirt, and ah, and he would jump in the water, and he would come out, whoo, and roll in the ground. And Nanda Baba said, I've never seen you in the village before. Who are you? He
said, I am Prayagraj.
Well, what are you doing here? Hey, Baba! He said, so many people, they come and they bathe in my holy place and they drop all their sins on me. And I come here once a year on this tithi, and bathe here and become bhavana, and become free. Nanda Baba goes, achcha! Really? And he looks across on the other side, because the ghats where the men bathe and the ladies bathe is another place, right? He saw on the other bank of the river, there's all these beautiful, effulgent ladies in wonderful, wonderful gold embroidered saris and, you know, with opulences. She, who are they? You know? So out of curiosity, he moseyed on over there, you know, look at them. And he goes, who are you? We never seen you in the village before. What's your name? He says, I am the Sindhu, I am the Tamraparni, I am the Raiva, I am the, you know, I am the Narmada, I am Godavari, I am Sindhu, I am, you know, all these personified rivers. And what are you here for? Every day, so many people, they come and they bathe in our waters and drop all our sins. And once a day, on Akshaya Tritiya, we come here and bathe in this spot and become Pava. Free. Sure. So Nanda Maharaj turned around, he took to his bath and turned around and went home. And then so Krishna came up to him, Nandalal came up to him, pulling on his dhoti. Hey, Peterji, huh? You're going today, huh? You're going today to Prayag, huh, Papa?
No, I'm not going.
What? All the churches are coming here, why should I go there, you know? That was Krishna's arrangement. Nandalal's arrangement. Didn't tell his father. Hare Baba, you don't need to go anywhere in Braj. You just stay here. You know? I wanted to go all the way to Baba. He's going, Prayagraj and all these devis, all these rivers, they all came here and bathed to become Pavana. So why should I go anywhere else? Pavana Sarovar is enough for me, you know. This is a devotee. Huh? Krishna fulfilled, Nandalal fulfilled, Nandalal's desire. And Nanda Baba filled, Nanda Lal's desire. And my father doesn't need to go anywhere. So this temple here, Raghubalabha's abode, and Gornitai's abode, this is the spiritual world. 10 kilometers around where the Shalagram is worshipped is a Tirtha. So all of you are so blessed and so fortunate. Other temples in Australia and everywhere else, they may be in various shades of broken downness, you know, and they may have various shades of manpower and like that. They're also transcendental places. We just don't have the eyes to see it. Time is separating it. But in this temple, at least we see the beauty, the opulence, the sweetness, the friendship. So devotees can be perfectly content. Some devotees leave their bodies in Vrindavan and Mayapur and Puri. They have their kshetra sannyasa there with their devotees. And other devotees, they have their retirement here. They have their life here. Closer and closer and closer to Radha Balava's lotus feet. So, because if their friends are here, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord, they don't feel separation from the spiritual world. Like that. If our mind is absorbed in the Lord, then we're all right. And if it's not, because sometimes our mind is chanchal, and sometimes devotees can leave in strange ways, you know, that gives doubt in the mind of devotees. For that reason, if there's any borderline, if there's any question, if there's any concern, sometimes it is good to go to Mayapur, Vrindavan, Puri, these places, and leave their body there. Because sometimes you leave in the middle of the night, sometimes you leave all of a sudden, sometimes your mind is disjointed. We've had examples of devotees, but as long as the dust of Vrindavan, the dust of Mayapur, the dust of Puri is there, there's not too much worry. So, Sudama is so wonderful. The why of this pastime, therefore, is to inspire all of us to follow in the footsteps of Sudama, obviously. That's what this pastime is there. Jai Sudama, Hare Krishna. There was a Mali in Mathura that was making garlands for Krishna and Balarama. He was also named Sudama. Different Baba. Different Baba. Same name. Dhamma's power. Dhamma yati. Dhamma is control. Control. Sudama, who controls nicely. Sudama, who controls good. Good controller. Good manager. Good something. Okay, questions now? Any questions? The icebreaker.
Who was the, you know, when Satyavati Swamiji asked Vyasadevani to come to her?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he promised he would come.
Right.
Who was the first lady that Vyasadeva was asked to approach? Out of the three ladies that he met?
Two. He went to two ladies. He was supposed to go to two ladies, but one of them snuck out the second time. Put her maidservant there. Amba got fried, right? She wanted Bhishma Dev as her husband. Bhishma refused, so she committed suicide. She dashed into the fire and became Shikhandi. She took birth as Shikhandi to get revenge on Bhishma. So that was Amba. Ambalika and... is one name. Ambalika was another one. Ambika. Ambika was one. Ambalika was the other one. Which is the ones when they approached first? Look it up. I apologize. We can look it up, okay? We can look it up. The whole online, it's online. You can get it. The whole 7.1 makes the whole Mahabharata. Kishari Mohan Ganguly edition is there, and my godbrother, the astrologer Shamsundar, his website. You can download the whole thing. It's good. What are you looking at? I got to look at it for another Itiyasa to give Bhakti Glenn anyway. He asked me for something. I got to dig it up for him anyway. Okay, ask me later. I'll try to serve you. Okay? Question? Another question? Yeah. Yeah, he was older. Right, Pandu was second. So that's why I said the first one was blind. The first lady, whatever her name was, Ambalika or Amba. I think it was Ambika. I think it was Ambika was the first. I think Ambalika, she was the one who had Pandu as her child. And when Satyapati asked Vyasadeva to go a second time again to her, you know, she wouldn't have anything over. She has some maid servant to come instead. It was a good scam, you know. The maid servant got blessed. And then Vyasadeva said, that's it. He understood that the ladies have had enough. You know, he could understand the mood. You know, he's a particular guy. He could see past, present, future. He could understand their mind. And, you know, the ladies were definitely not into this, you know. And he told his mother, forget it. Don't ask that again, you know. It's interesting. So it must have been. Ambalika was the second time. So it must have been Ambika, but it must have been the first. Yeah. I just said, so Ambika was the first girl who was approached by Vyasadeva, and because she closed his eyes out of fear of the sage, right? Because he was whatever he was, Vyasadeva was the one he was. He didn't dress himself nicely to make, because she didn't do a vrata. He told his mother that if she's patient and she does a vrata for a month or some period, then I will, at the end of her vrata, I will prepare myself suitably to please her, you know? He could take any disguise he wanted. But because Satyavati wanted, you know, evidently she was a little impatient or something, she requested him to go right away. And if she was, was not a vati, had not performed any suitable austerity, therefore she had to accept him as he was. And the way he was not cool, you know, just coming off of some tapasya, you know, it probably looked rather disheveled and unbathed. And for a princess, that's a little far out, you know. All of this is instructive. Yeah. And she closed her eyes in fear. Oh, God. She closed her eyes in fear, and never decided the little child was blind. The bhava is important, you know. This is why Vyasadeva blessed that dasi, you know, to have Dura, because her bhava was so good. The bhava was more important than anything else in Vedic culture. Huh? Yeah, you're right. Okay. Hare Krishna. You got something? Hey, two. How do we always look at Krishna? Through his name. This is the business. Our business is to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's business through the name. Right? The name is non-different. If you chant the name, the Lord comes running on the names. That's how we always live with Krishna. We always constantly chant his names and remember him. Then the Lord will always be with us. But because our mind is chanchal, we forget him for a moment. Then again you call. So it depends on our vyasa. And if you do it with love, then he'll come. Keep the name of the tongue. LIC policy. Right? Everything else is stolen in the time of death. That's all we got. The name, pastimes, and our devotee friends. The more you serve devotees that are departing, the more Krishna is kind to make sure that somebody is there to help you depart. So we should always, we're made by the mercy of devotees, that's all. We're made by the mercy of devotees only. Okay. How are you? Anything else? Okay, we're good. What do we need? We got 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 4 questions. See, maybe we can get more later on. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Jai Shriman Mahaprabhu Nityananda Prabhu Madhavallabha Shalagram Gaon and Jagannath Baladev Sampradamai Kansi Rani. Jai Shriman Mahaprabhu Nityananda Prabhu.